And we're now actually going to read the Bible as well. So if you want to grab your Bible and turn to the book of Hosea. Now, Hosea is in the Old Testament. It comes just after the book of Daniel. If you get to Joel, you've gone too far, but you may need to look in your table of contents to find it. But we're reading Hosea chapter 1. So please read along with me. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and during the reign of Jeroboam, son of Jehosh, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved, for I will no longer show love to Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to Judah, and I will save them, not by bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but I, the Lord their God, will save them." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ammi, which means not my people, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' they will be called children of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will come together. They will anoint one leader and will come out of that land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Say of your brothers, 'My people,' and of your sisters, 'My loved one.'"
I want to first introduce you to this guy. We see from verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Hosea." Now, that's prophet language. Hosea is a prophet, and he's told by the Lord, verse 2, to do something. Now, I'll tell you a story. This week, I was at a conference for Presbyterian leaders from around the state, and when ministers get together for lunch, you might not think that makes for the most scintillating conversation, fair enough, because when ministers get together, they sometimes talk about their preaching. And over a lunchtime, I heard two guys talk about, well, that they're youth ministers, youth pastors, and one of them said, "I should use props more." You know, props, physical illustrations. Well, Hosea is told by the Lord to get married and have kids because that's part of his teaching. That's his props. Imagine if I said to Kirsty and my kids, "I married you and I've had you because you're part of my illustrations for my preaching." So here's the first thing that Hosea teaches us with his wife and his kids, that relationship between God and his people is like a marriage. That's the first point today. The relationship between God and his people is like a marriage. Because in verse 2 it says there, "When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, 'Go marry.'" Now I'll stop there. We'll get to the next bit soon. But Hosea is told to marry to show something about the relationship that God has with his people. Now Hosea is not unusual in talking like this. In fact, we can go to another prophet, Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 6, and it says this, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. Do you see it there? It says, for your maker is your husband. See, the prophets like Isaiah, Hosea, are trying to get something across really important here. See, the Bible teaches us we need to know certain things about God and how we respond to him, like God is king and we are his subjects, and God is shepherd and we are his sheep. And those things are true. And we need to know those things. But if we stop there, we miss out on something crucially important, because God is also like a husband. Marriage, love, affection, a right type of jealous desire. You know, I thought that short film, it's just beautiful. Yeah, so many good lines there. Like, yes, my heart breaks, but I will chase you. Yes, my soul weeps, but I will seek after you. This is Hosea's message. People might say, you know, I like to feel that God is like this. Well, the message of Hosea is this is how God feels about you. When you apply marriage to us and God, it shows us a bunch of things. Like in marriage, with God, there is a deep and intimate knowledge. I'll give you an example. You know, someone might come up to me one day and say, Garnet, you're a really kind and patient guy. And my response to that is, fooled you. Because I can sort of craft and curate myself, and I can present my public pastoral sort of persona so that you might think all sorts of positive things about me. I can fool you. I can even fool myself. But in marriage, what you find is there's nowhere to hide. Is there? Because Kirsty, well, she really knows me. She really is the judge if I'm kind and patient. She can tell you what you're like. You know, if you're married, it's true, isn't it? There's nowhere to hide. Marriage gives this sort of intimacy and knowledge. So I'm saying to you, God is not this distant deity king who's just looking from above over us. No, to have God in your life is like a loving husband who knows you. It's the language of covenant marriage as promise, as an oath, as a bond. This picture of God is all the way through the Bible. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 5, after God rescues the people out of slavery in Egypt, he says, I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. You know, I can almost hear the wedding vows in those words. You know, I will take you from this day on to have and to hold from this day forward, for richer, for poorer. And there is no more powerful and potent human relationship than covenant marriage. You know, if you're married, don't you know it to be true? You know, if you have a good marriage, you go out into this world from a position of strength. It's like you can take anything on, because in the end, that person who knows you is for you. He or she is for you. So when other things are against you, you do come out from a position of strength. But sadly, it works the other way too, doesn't it? When you're in a bad marriage, you go out into the world from a position of weakness. And that takes us to the next point in Hosea 1. Now, God's relationship with his people is like a marriage, and God's relationship with his people is like a bad marriage. Now, there are shocking things going on in the first chapter of Hosea. The Lord commands Hosea, verse 2, go marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her, for like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. It's a shocking thing, isn't it? Hosea is to have this illustration marriage. Now, that short film showed us how the rest of Hosea plays out. God who grieves and chases and pursues. But right now, Hosea 1, this is how it all begins. Hosea is to marry a woman who goes to bed with other men. How does that film put it? I'll read out some of those words. You caused your own destruction because you sought the bitter taste of unfaithfulness. It tasted better on your bitter tongue than the taste of undying love. And went on to say, we were wedded, tethered, hearts connected, and now I feel like that smashed piece of me can never be put back together. Great words, Josh and Nat. Now we have people in our church who've gone through this. There is nothing more painful in life than to find your spouse has turned from you and gone to another. It is like a tearing of the fabric of your life. So I'll say the rawness of Hosea really will press on those raw parts of people's lives. But the point of this shocking thing of Hosea is to illustrate not how terrible that adulterous woman is, as if we just point our fingers over there and say, look at her. No, it's to show how unfaithful and spiritually adulterous we ourselves are. We'll keep talking about this next week, but you and I are not reasonable, respectable, faithful, good people for whom God says, oh, you're such nice people. No. Hosea is the story of what is happening in the land of Israel with their idolatry, but you and I are spiritual adulterers as well. We are promiscuous. We are turned our backs on God. We worship things rather than our Creator. This is our spiritual adultery that is our idolatry. Idolatry is not just some ancient primitive practice. God's words says this to us because we turn good things into godlike things. We make them the ultimate thing over and above God, whether that be money or health or beauty or social acceptance or a social cause or marriage or kids or job or comfort. I know this is a very un-PC thing to say, but you and I, we are the whores. That's this marriage between God and his people. The message of Hosea confronts us. And the message of Hosea is that God judges. God judges Israel, and he still judges today. And this is where the children of this marriage come in. Have a look there, verse 3. It says, so Hosea married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Now there are three kids born, and only the first son, we're definitely told, is the son of Hosea. I mean, that's how it works, isn't it? You're left never sure when there's adultery at play. And these names given to these kids, I mean, they are terrible names of judgment. I mean, the first one, verse 4, Jezreel. That name is given because of a location of Jezreel in the idol-worshipping ancient Israel. Jezreel was this place of massacre and bloodshed. You can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 9 and 10. Jezreel was synonymous with bloodshed. So it's like Hosea's child's name is bloodshed. You know, imagine you're at someone's house at a barbecue, some kids are playing out in the backyard, and one of the dads says, hey, bloodshed, the barbecue is ready. Come in for lunch, bloodshed. Or the next one, verse 6, Lo Ruhamah, not loved. Imagine you're a teacher. It's the first day of prep. There's a pretty little girl down on the front, and you as the teacher say, now what's your name? And she says, my name is not loved. Come up here for some show and tell, not loved. Or the third child, verse 9, his name is Lo Ami, not my people. Again, imagine your son along with other kids is out on the street. Maybe they're playing on their bikes, and the dad comes out and calls out to one of the boys, not my son, come on in. It's dinner time. Not my son. Wash your hands before you come to the table. It's shocking, isn't it? I don't know. Have you seen on TV that ad for Dare Ice Coffee? when the dad is in the maternity ward, and he's about to name his kid, and the suggestion is calamari. Do you remember that? It's a bit of a joke. You know, that'd be a fine name compared to what these kids get. Names of condemnation and judgment. The whole family is about giving this prophetic message that God will judge Israel for their covenant marriage unfaithfulness. Israel has worshipped false gods, and God will judge them. And Israel is judged. In the history of Israel, there is destruction and exile. There is bloodshed. It's like verse 5 says, the Lord will break Israel's bow in the valley of bloodshed. Now, we're going to be looking at this in the weeks ahead, whether we're back in the hall at Eatonsville State School or where we're doing live stream again. But the picture of God we have in Hosea is that God judges, God destroys, he is holy, he is right to bring destruction to Israel. But also, because God is holy, he has to be true to himself. So he has to be faithful, and he has to show love, judgment, and faithfulness, and love are all together here in Hosea. Did you notice it in verse 10? You know, in the same breath as talking about not loved and not my people, we're probably thinking, well, why don't you, God, make up your mind? Because verse 10, he says, have a look at verse 10. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, you're not my people, they'll be called children of the living God. The people of Judah and the people of Israel will come together. They'll appoint one leader and will come out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. We'd be tempted to think, wouldn't we, God, make up your mind. Make up your mind, you know, with Jezreel. Is it going to be a day of judgment, bloodshed, or is it going to be this great time when the people come together and a new leader and celebration? Great is the day of Jezreel. Well, Jezreel is synonymous with bloodshed, but Jezreel literally means God plants. God plants. So, is it God brings judgment, bloodshed, Jezreel? Or is it that God plants, God brings hope and restoration, Jezreel? The answer is, it is both. It is both. There's heaps of territory we're going to cover over these weeks, but they both can sit together in a hair's breadth from each other. Judgment and celebration, because of the eventual leader who would come, is Jesus. And it's at the cross, in Jesus' death, where there is judgment and bloodshed. But also through faith in Jesus, we can have forgiveness and be loved by God. I'll read out a passage from the New Testament now, Romans 3, where it says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets like Hosea, testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. At the cross, centuries after Hosea, there is Jezreel, judgment and bloodshed for spiritual adultery, unfaithfulness, along with grace and redemption. I want to say this. We need to be careful as we talk about human marriage between a man and a woman and Hosea. You know, as if by looking at Hosea, there could never be a reason for divorce, because there are biblical grounds for divorce. This is not the point. Hosea tells us what God is like towards an unfaithful, adulterous, spiritual, promiscuous people like us. God judges and God shows incredible mercy and love to us as we come to faith in Jesus. I want to finish by talking about the relationship you can have with God, both from fact but also from experience. The fact of the matter is, given our spiritual adultery, Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is our only hope. God wants and aches and longs for a people to know his forgiveness, his unrelenting love. And in the New Testament, the writer of Romans reflects on Hosea. The Apostle Paul, the follower of Jesus, writes, "Even us, whom he has called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles, as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I'll call on her my loved one who is not my loved one. And in the very place where it is said to them, you are not my people, they will be called children of the living God." This is writing in the New Testament to show us that Jesus makes Hosea come true. That's the fact. But I also want to talk about experience. The experience where you come to Jesus, it's an experience of being brought in so that we who were once not God's people are brought in to be his people. It's an experience because maybe for you, you didn't have the love. You didn't have much love from your father or mother. Not loved. Maybe for you at school you faced rejection. Maybe for you race has meant you've been a bit on the outside. Maybe acceptance and feeling at ease with friends has felt really elusive. Maybe you're single and you so wish you were married. Maybe in marriage you are the one for whom your wife or husband has turned their back on and has been unfaithful and went to another. Not loved. What I'm trying to say, there's all sorts of experiences when we feel betrayed, we just have this longing to be loved. Well, that's the experience of when we come to God through faith in Jesus, the blood shed on the cross for us. My people, who are not formerly my people, loved and the children of the living God. Now, relationship with God in Christ Jesus, it's a marriage. A love with an aching heart. That love towards you. As you belong to God in Jesus, God knows you. He loves you as someone who is precious. And no matter what others think and however you've been treated, no matter what you've done, it is true. Jesus shed his blood in love for you. As we journey through Hosea, may today be a day where you know Jesus, where you know that in Jesus, God loves you. Well, I'm now going to pray, and I invite you to pray with me. So let's come to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we know you as King, as Redeemer, and we can know you as Husband. The God who you are, who is moved to love, who's grieved, who takes action and initiative so that you would have idol-worshipping, rebellious people to know you and to experience and have your forgiveness and to have your love. We thank you for Hosea. It is shocking. It is raw. But Father, help us to know that this is a message about you. Indeed, we thank you that blood was shed by Jesus on the cross so that we might know you and have your forgiveness. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.